It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, welcome, one and all, and dear listener. Do you know, I was enjoying that The Shadows Contiki from many billions of years ago. I was enjoying it so much, I almost forgot to cue myself in. So it would have been an hour and a half of silence, which I think for some people would be jolly. Actually, but okay, and it is Thursday, 9:30 Central Time, the new Panic Room episode 41, it says here on my screen, which is scary. That means we've been coming in your ear for 41 long weeks. So anywho, it's been a day today. It's been a little bit of excitement, but not really. it's drudge. Is the truth. It's drudge. Just trying to think. Nothing really, nobody bombed North Korea, so there's really not much to talk about. Everybody was just sat waiting. What's going on? They're all pointing missiles and shit at each other, and Trump had his Senate meeting yesterday, and there was a big thing about that. And, I've not heard a dicky bird about that since, so I don't know whether he just wanted to feel loved or something. I don't know, but anywho, I think she's there. Hopefully she's not A, drunk, or B, asleep. Are you there, Xtina?
I am.
I can't think of anything to rant about, really. I mean, the whole Korea thing seems to have sort of, it's on a bit of a stalemate at the moment. They're just sort of, saber rattling, and I don't know. Do you know what happened with the big Senate meeting yesterday? I mean, did that happen? Because everyone was predicting he was going to announce he's going to go to war. I mean, what happened with that? You've got no idea, have you?
Yesterday.
Don't know what I'm talking about. Say again.
I watched baseball yesterday, so I don't know.
You just.
And my team won.
Oh, hold on, hold
I mean,
on, hold
sorry.
On,
my, no, wait. Oh, what?
Strike one.
I've two words to say to that. Shite!
What's the other one?
Shite!
There you go. That's what we get for talking baseball. But
yeah,
okay,
you know,
well,
my team lost so horribly bad, and they had
seriously could not care less, to be honest with you. And if you can't give us some political comment, I know somebody who can.
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Thank you, President Trump. You are undoubtedly an absolute grade A, 100% fucking genius. Thank you. God bless America.
Bad.
God's going to have to bless. Somebody's going to have to bless America because we're all damned, to be honest. We're screwed. You really are. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm laughing. If you don't laugh, you cry at these things,
it's sad.
Don't you? It is terrible.
Yes.
Said the man is a fucking moron. I mean, I'm you know, because Trump supporters, any Trump supporters are saying, tune out now because we hate you. It's your fault. This is your fault. You voted for him. Go away. Don't listen to something else.
I know.
The Trump wankathon podcast or something, because, you know, it's scary. It really is. But hey, Xtina, how are you? Apart from
my AC,
the team losing,
I got my AC running. I was complaining to you that I was hot and the AC problem, and then I realized that I was a moron because I had it set higher than what the temperature was in the house, and that's why it wasn't on.
Seriously, oh dear.
I know. I don't even. I don't know how
oh
that happened.
Goodness.
I don't.
Oh, well, this coming on top of your lecture on butterflies the other week is
maybe you could intern
for Donald Trump, you know, make him look smart.
That's low. Okay, I'm just a little flighty, a little airheaded, but you know, no comparison.
You need to drink more. I think that's.
I do. I'm not nearly drunk enough yet, and
no.
It's been one of those days. It has. It's been one thing after another.
It has been, yeah. It's been productive. I finished a short story today, which is always good, and I'm sort of plugging away at my next novel, which is it's taking shape. I had a bit of a stumbling moment because it's, you know, I sort of planning, reading through my notes and what I've got planned and what have you. I thought, hang on a minute, I'm just rewriting it. I really don't want to rewrite it because that's been written. And this is like my small town novel. You know, it's set in a sort of sinister small town, and it's about this sort of evil and what have you. But it's more about the murder of a young girl. You know, and I almost stopped. Almost, I'm going to have to stop and write something else because it's turning to it too, and I don't want that.
Right.
And then, sort of, you know, your brain just, why? You know, really, the whole point is because it is based actually on a true story. You know, the story is about the girl, and in my head, the town is sort of, as a character, the town has almost taken over. You know, so
yeah,
I'm now with
that
different mindset. You know, focus. As I should do originally, focus on the girl rather than, you know, the town itself. But I mean, the town is instrumental to the whole thing, and there's like an underlying dark secret. And like I say, if it turns out reading like it, I'm just going to cry because it's going to be It's going to be a fat one. It has all the potential to be a fat one, this.
Well, you know, even your short stories are crazy long. I don't think you know how to write anything too short. But I don't think
stories are 14,000 words, you know, so I might as well, you know, another five and make it an event. I know, but I'm trying to hone that craft. You know, I mean, my last novel, which should be out this summer, is 105,000 words.
Wow.
Which, you know, I don't know as novels go, he's not, you know, massively, but this could be a 200,000 word of the way it's going. Because there's a load of different characters, because it's not an enclosed space, you know, it's not like it's not a contained unit of people, it's a whole town, and the whole town is involved, and there's all these different, and what I don't want is characters just coming in for one scene, and then not coming in again. People say, where did that character, what happened to him, you know?
Right.
You know, so anywho, do we have a show for the listener tonight?
I think we do. Yes.
I hope
it's
so.
It's been a it's been a crazy day, and I'm the one who runs around and tries to, you know, get everybody into places and stuff, and I
everything.
You know.
This is like Stina, I do it. Well, to be fair, yes, you do. Actually, I do nothing. I show up at 9:10 and just waffle for an hour and a half, which is, you know,
I try to charm guests. And things like that, and James shows up.
and you know, you should be grateful. You should be grateful for that.
Yeah, this is why I drink, though.
Whatever your excuse, that's fine. So we have Kimber S. Dawn and the outstanding Israel Flynn on this evening, both dear friends of the show, must be something wrong with them to be coming back on again. But we've got fruit flies in the hat, and I'm sat in front of my screen. They're just crawling across the screen because you jab at them to squish them, and then you've got a big greasy fingerprint and a dead fruit fly in the middle of your screen. You know, it's just
gross.
Oh God, it's just further proof that you know, baby Jesus hates me. So we have. I'm sorry, I'm in one of those moods tonight. So I think hopefully, all things being equal, we have Kimber on the line. Are you there, Mom?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Yay!
We're good. How are you?
Good, great, wonderful.
Good. It's been a while. You are crazy enough to come back on.
Yes, sir.
I had a stalker for a while to get her to say yes. I think I had her once, and then she was like, well, I don't know. But I don't stop. I don't stop there. And finally,
you are relentless.
I think I just break them down. Yes, you're like
she's like the T-1000 of the blog radio world. She just keeps going and going and going. You've got to melt her in a vat of steel. Melt her in a vat of steel. And even then, she'd come back. She would be back.
Yeah.
That could be a catchphrase. She'll be back. That'd be great. I think it might have been done, but I'll be back. So Kimber, you're here to. I put a shiver at my spine. That dude. Here to talk. I understand you're at a school recital or something.
Yes, my daughter is having her choir. Her last. Choir program.
Awesome. I have a whole round of those next week. I've got three to go to next week.
It's lots of fun wrapping up into the school year stuff.
I know. I mean, luckily, my daughter's school, they had their field day. Oh, when did they have it? I think they had it before Christmas, actually. So that's done. But previously, I think the year before, it was sort of scheduled for March, and we got pretty heavy rains, and in the end, they ended up having like 3 days before the end of the semester, before the end of school, because they just had to keep postponing it. So, and of course, here in Texas, it gets that hot by about 10 o'clock. You know that you've got kids running around in 104-degree heat. You know, you do lose a few. You do lose a few. the unhealthy ones, so it's all right. You know, the ones who, should stay, stay off the donuts.
I don't remember it being that hot. I don't remember it being hot.
Oh, it's I mean, even,
yeah, it's
even now, I mean, for the past month, it's been in the 80s and 90s. It's been damn hot. It has been hot. It's funny. I was outside. I was working on my pool. Practically had to rebuild the damn thing. That was being fun. And of course, I was thinking, oh, it's early April. I'm fine. It's early April. Because it got horribly sunburned. And in England, they're actually having a cold snap in England. They're getting snow in England. This time of year, they've got the hats and coats on. It's cold. It's cold up until about June in England.
Right.
But here, to get sunburned in March, April is just... I just refuse to... I'm not putting sunscreen... I'm not putting sunscreen on. It's April. I'm not... No.
It's April.
It's not. No way. I'm not putting sunscreen on until June. That's the rule. And look at my back and shoulders, my neck and shoulders were just horribly horrible. I could hardly, you know, you can't sleep.
God, I picture you with that farmer's tan now, and that's so not attractive, James. It's not.
Do you know anything on me is attractive? Even my beard, which makes like a badger.
Yes, you were supposed to post a picture of your beard, and you didn't do that.
Oh, I've
you...
not done that. I'm so sorry. I should do. I will. I promise. The world's most ill-advised facial growth. You know, let's grow a beard just before the summer starts. Yeah, great.
And if I talk strange at all tonight, I swear it's not because I am drinking, but it's not because I'm drunk. I got a facial piercing last week, and it's still kind of weird when I'm like talking and laughing and stuff. So, but I am drinking, so you know it could be either or. You'll never know.
Or both. Or both.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kimber, you're here to talk about your book Before I Wake, which is the follow-up to If I Should Die. Tell us a bit more about it.
I
put you on the spot now. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's the conclusion of If I Should Die. It came out really quick, and that was awesome. I really thought whenever I came back to it, because I had to step away from writing for a second because of a bunch of life stuff. And whenever I came back to it, I really did think that I was going to have about 5 to 10 more chapters to write, and I only had about probably 2 pages more to write, and that was it. And it felt good and complete. So I put a pretty little red bow on it, and that was that. And it's done really well so far. I released on Friday, and did a little soft release party on Saturday, and it's been doing pretty good. So yeah,
and it's an MC series, isn't it?
Yes, it's the follow up to my motorcycle club series.
I've always had a soft spot for those kind of books. I have.
I know.
They're so good.
They're so good. They're so fun.
Are you a fan of Sons of Anarchy?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Hell yes.
Yeah.
And that's what really put me off from writing it, from even trying to start writing anything about a motorcycle, even a rider. It's just because I didn't want to be pigeonholed or put in, or I didn't want that to be a part of it, but it just,
right.
That's just something that I fell back on. And then I just kept going back to, cause so many of my characters, there's just a big, that entire series did such a great job with the brotherhood and the camaraderie and that's what I was trying to put into my book. So I fell back a lot onto that series.
Now I remember your reading from the last time you were on, and I was engrossed the whole entire time, so I cannot wait to get to it this time. Do you have a reading ready for us?
I do.
Yay.
Let me find.
And by the way, with the whole Sons of Anarchy, everybody is either like, you know, they're in love with Jax or they like Opie. You know, I'm a Tig fan. I love Tiggy.
I love Tiggy.
He's got the most beautiful blue eyes. Oh my God, I'm in love with his eyes. I am.
I just love his personality and his yeah. I love Tig.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is where Jax, this is the male POV. Most of my books jump between female POV and male POV, and this is the first chapter of Jax, the male POV.
Okay,
so I'll just start here. I've been a religious person since the time I can recall, well, being a fucking person, a human, the core meaning of being one. Some say it's because of my mother and her strong Catholic upbringing she had growing up in France and then passed down to me. Some say it's because of Christ himself and the plan he has for me, while others say it was from the trials and tests that I've withstood and the number of times that death's been at my doorstep and I've walked away every damn time. But if I had to guess, I'd say it was a paradox of all three. And yes, you read that correctly. I said, but if I had to guess, meaning I don't know, because I couldn't fucking tell you. I don't remember. A side effect of one skull connecting with oak? I'm trying to remember if that's the type of tree they said I hit. I do know that the human body isn't supposed to stay lodged between a motorcycle and an oak tree for over 45 minutes. I also know that motorcycles aren't generally used as tourniquets for that long either. And when these things happen, there are usually consequences for them. Then again, that's why you're here. My guess is you're here for the rest of the story. Well, I'm sorry, but you're not going to like this one little bit. But when a man is left with the hand that I was, you make do. And apparently, I did. But that's a part of the story that I can't tell you about because I don't know. Memory loss, remember? Allegedly, on top of the trauma and the surgeries after the accident, I was also out for 45 days in a coma. Yeah, 45 days. Do you know how much muscle atrophy occurs in 1 week? Now multiply that shit by six, and you're still probably not visually able to conjure up how bad I look, how withered away I am. It's almost sickening. And what do I hear in those 45 days? What did I see? Absolutely nothing besides blackness, complete and utter darkness. I don't even remember seeing the back of my own damn eyelids. I just remember a set of brown eyes filtering in to my even darker thoughts every now and then. And a prayer. I also remember a prayer being muttered constantly and over again. The migraine that's been splitting its way through my ever-waking thoughts this morning isn't making this shit any easier either. So sue me if when the nurse walks in asking me if I'm in pain and I tell her it's yes, that it's a 10 too. And it is, just not in the general area she's referring to. But I see no need to tell her my pain radiates from the chest area, not where the stitches are across from my abdomen and back. I feel the warmth as soon as the IV pain med is pushed, and a few seconds later, the nurse's cool hand pats my cheek. I smile before nuzzling my face against her hand. And when the warm and fuzzy feeling begins unfurling itself in my belly, I peek through my eyelids and grin even more when a new familiar face enters my hospital room, because there aren't many these days, unfortunately. Roxy, though she's older and aged quite a bit more than the last I remember, but she's still familiar to me for some reason. Some made the cut, some didn't, and the docs can't explain why. Hey, you, my voice comes out garbled more than I intended and winced. I cough to clear my throat and scoot up in my hospital bed using the heels of my hands. I haven't seen Roxy yet. I've seen some of the older brothers. Most of them came in the first night I woke up and a couple of days ago. And though they tell me that I've only been out for 2 months, I know I've been out for longer. My mind has completely decided to leave me, and we're still waiting on those fucking test results. I know these facts. I don't remember losing my pops. I kind of know Dredd, but not as fondly as he remembers me. Or he weighs friendship much differently than I do. I don't know the girl who's gone missing, the kid of King O'Malley's everyone is looking for, but I do know that her sister died and was apparently found and buried, and the authorities are getting nervous because there have been no leads. And I only know those last few facts because of what I've heard the nurses and the docs saying and report as they circle my hospital room. But all of these facts are nothing more than information I've accumulated while listening to the MC brothers talk amongst themselves or when they directly speak to me. At first, I had no idea what the hell they were talking about. And the migraines I'm suffering aren't making this shit any easier. Have you ever had a fucking migraine? You can't even see. How's a guy supposed to think, much less answer questions? So I was absolutely no help to the authorities when the girl's mother woke up demanding answers from me, of all people. And then, from what the authorities suggest, the girl's best friend, a guy named Ty, says she was seen with me the last time he saw her. But I'm not lying when I fucking tell you I don't know shit, aside from what my MC brothers have told me. I don't know anything about a girl named Evo Miley. That's that.
I was waiting for more. I'm always waiting for more, and they just leave me hanging every time.
You can't stop. No.
I
want to know what happened. What they did. Is he lying about the memory loss, or is it genuine? Or is that too much of a spoiler?
I think it's genuine, yeah.
Because it would be a great one to hide behind, wouldn't it? I can't remember.
Yeah, it would be. That would be a good story.
Yeah, it's funny. I read a book quite a while ago. It was on a recommended list, and it was written. It was actually about a woman descending into Alzheimer's, and it was written. And the author did it really well because as the book progressed, the author would just leave like a big gap. And
oh, wow.
It sort of, you know, this, and then, and it portrayed beautifully that just the gap in the woman's mind, because as her brain was dying, it's like it perceived it like just holes. It was like, you know, she knew this, and then there was just a gap, and then it picked up, and then, you know, and as it progressed through the book, and she descended deeper and deeper into this, I don't know what she came up with called. I actually loaned the book to a friend of mine because he wanted to write a novel about Alzheimer's. Somebody, you know, obviously a different book, but it was so incredibly well done. The use of blank spaces, you know, you'd think, you know, the last quarter of the book, you know, there's probably more blanks than not, but it told the story beautifully, you know.
Right. It told that. Wow. Awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You definitely have to remember the name of that, because it does sound like something I would pick up to read.
I wish I could. Yeah.
I was
one of the best
books
I've ever read was called, and I think I read it the first time I was in the seventh grade, and it's called Suffer the Child. And it's about a little girl who has personality. She's got split personalities. And I think it's a true story, and it kind of reminds you of the Sybil story.
Oh, Sybil, yes. That was awesome.
But, I mean, like, on the front and back folds of the cover are, like, her personalities, like the handwriting where she writes in her journal. And it's pretty much a journal entry book. But it is the ages of the character or the personalities, they're not even characters because it's a true story, range between 4 and like 44. So it's insane
wow.
to see this handwriting. And then the little girl writes in pretty little handwriting with her little, she draws a picture with the flower and the little girl's holding the flower. And then you see the man who's 47 and he's writing in like chicken scratch and he's mad and mad about work. And I love books like that.
Yeah. That is, the ones that actually put you in the, you know, the mind. And it is, I mean, it's a horrifying concept, you know, to
yeah,
have that.
Definitely.
I guess, I mean, the one saving grace that, you know, the people who are suffering, you know, don't realize it. You know, you split personality. You are that personality at that particular moment, and a lot,
exactly.
You know, they are not even aware of the other, like with Sybil, you know, until they work with her, she wasn't aware that she had all these other personalities living in there. You know,
I've always thought that people with mental illnesses, I think it's so much harder on the loved ones. I really do. Because
it is.
For the person with the illness, that's their normal. You know, I've had close family members with, you know, bipolar and schizophrenia, and these are scary illnesses that, you know, from the outside looking in, I've tried to put myself in their shoes, and it's just way too scary. But I read a few books on, you know, like fiction books that deal with it, and I can't put them down, but at the same time, they scare the crap out of me because, you know, the mind is just so complex,
real.
You know? I had a dream. Oh, my God. I had a dream about a week ago, and in the dream, whatever was happening, I was thinking I was going crazy in the dream, and it was the most frightening thing. I woke up like, oh, my God, I'm not crazy. You know what I mean? It was like, thank God.
Are you
God.
Sure that was a dream? Are you really sure
Shut
that was
up,
a dream?
Shut up, Dave.
I'm
pretty sure,
yeah.
I wasn't even drinking.
And you woke up. Are you sure you woke up?
Yeah.
That's
well,
not funny.
Well, this could be the dream, and you are actually crazy. Huh?
Yeah, what is the whole thing? Everybody's just a figment of my imagination. With my luck, I would be a figment of somebody else's imagination.
Yeah.
No, not you. No.
Right?
I think you would make a great imaginary friend, Xtina, to be honest. I could see that.
Yes. She's a great
cheerleader.
Think?
I think she'd be great. She'd be true, my little imaginary friend. We could have little pretend tea parties. And, yeah. Like little Jiminy Cricket.
Before I forget, I have to do, we have to do 11 questions. Do you have a little jingle, James?
Yes, for 11 questions.
Sorry, what?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was nodding off there. What? Yes,
yeah,
we have.
Where are you? Come on now.
You just said it.
And
I mean,
now, 11 questions.
Okay, Kimber, what's your guilty pleasure?
At the moment, wine in a box.
Ooh, I like that. Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans? Yeah, she just became my best friend.
I'm gonna have to say ranch style.
Really? You know, you're like nobody really knows what that is. James says he has a can in his car.
I have a tin in my pantry. It says ranch style on it. So.
Okay.
You get a Mexican casserole, and that is gonna be awesome.
To be fair, it's been in our pantry for I think 4 years now, so I have no idea what it is. No idea.
Okay. Puppies or kittens?
Oh, kittens.
Okay. I was not judging things.
Right.
I can hear it in your head. Mm. She's judging you. Okay. What's your favorite? What's your favorite lunch meat?
probably turkey.
Turkey's good. Okay, I wasn't judging too bad for that one. What was your first car?
A 1981 Ford Escort. Standard. Big ship. Oh, yes.
So far, I've been the only person that can't remember anything but the color. Okay, and let's see. What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Oh, shit, snakes.
Really?
Well, that's the wrong answer again.
That was the wrong answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wrong one.
Okay. Freddy,
well,
Jason, or Pinhead?
I keep bringing them up and dropping them at my feet for some reason because they think that they love me and that's what they do if they love me. So right now, snakes. It's springtime in Louisiana. Snakes.
yeah. Okay, Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
I'm sorry, come again.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Freddy.
First draft, handwritten or word processor? Are you thinking really hard on that one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You handwrite things? I can barely sign my name anymore to anything.
I really prefer to handwrite, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Favorite alcoholic drink, would that be a wine in a box?
Yes, ma'am. That would be that.
Okay.
So, how
number
is
11
the box,
is
the box? Sorry, I've got to ask: is the box really, really important to that? Is the box the integral part, or is it just the fact it's wine?
No, it's just Franzia, Sunset Blush, Franzia.
You get more in a box, or something.
Yes.
Okay, 11 is one interesting non-writing related fact about you. And I just got messed up there, but it's not because I'm drinking, I swear.
I'm a social recluse.
A social recluse. Okay, I like that. And our bonus question.
I'm the most socially awkward person you'll ever meet, I guess. That's what,
a social awkward person.
That.
See, we would have so much fun together. We would drink wine and be socially awkward. That's great.
That'd be a fun evening, wouldn't it?
It would. Okay, and our bonus question, baseball or stamp collection?
Stamp collection.
Is that your answer, or are you questioning that?
No, I think I'm going to take that as an answer. That's the answer. Stamp collecting is awesome. No, it was not the wrong
answer. Like growing up, and baseball is just so long and drawn out.
Yay!
Okay, what is that? I think that's 2 for stamp collection and like 1 million for baseball. But since I've only been asking for 3 weeks, it's not really 1 million for baseball. But
the poll is still going on, so we're good. We're good. There's time yet. There's time yet.
I know.
I'm just trying to find a way to bring stamp collecting to radio. You know.
I'm trying. We'll try.
Yeah, we'll give it a go.
I'm trying to bring. I want Baseball Corner with X-Tina. I think that has a nice ring to it. I really do. And all I'm going to talk about is my team and the fact that they're really sucking right now. Not just a little sucked, like horribly sucking.
Yeah. You're not a Saints fan, so you're really not. Yeah.
No, I'm a Blue Jays fan, and they're actually the very worst in the whole everything right now. They're just the dead last, but it doesn't matter because I'm faithful and they're my team, and I'll just be
you brown bag
hanging
it.
Out here.
You brown bag
that
team.
Well, I'm bored.
Oh, shut up, geez.
But you are boring me to tears, XD. You really. So, Kinder. So, what are you working on now, my dear? Now you this is out and in the world. What's next for you?
Well, right now I'm working on Roman's son's book. He's a bit of a virgin slayer. He only goes after virgins. So I'm playing with the outline on that book. And other than that, I'm just working full time and just playing. That's it.
Awesome. So when will we be able to see the virgin slayer book? Is that it's still early days, or did you have a...
Yes, still early days. Still early days.
Nothing slated yet.
No. It's all on paper and all on pen and paper right now. Note cards.
Right.
And your MC series, are there going to be more books in that series, or is it pretty
much
done?
I'd like to do a flashback series where I do the parent that started the series that just gets mentioned here and there. But that's going to put me back in the 70s, so I've got to do some 70s research, and that's going to be fun. Cars and bikes and things.
Right.
Clothes and polyester and all that good stuff.
Oh, polyester. Bell bottoms.
Bell bottoms.
Did you ever,
polyester.
Bell bottoms, yeah.
Did you ever read, what was that book called? Out of Time by Beth Flynn. Did you read that? That was a motorcycle club, book that takes place back and forth between like the 70s and now times. And it was just
really
interesting. Yeah, it was really cool the way that the flashbacks and stuff, and it was like in Florida, and because I lived along a lot of years in Florida, it was just really neat to I loved the whole 70s era. I wish I could have been born. Well, no, I'm not going to say that because that sounds so stupid. I wish I could have been born back then, and I was born back then. So.
Well, there you go. Your wishes come true. Yeah, it's funny. I remember the 70s incredibly well. I mean, I was born, I was a child of the 60s, so the 70s. It was an odd, I mean, certainly in England, it was an odd sort of decade because we started off with sort of the back end of the Beatles. Then we had the whole glam rock thing, and then suddenly just switched we had disco, obviously. Then it just suddenly switched straight into punk, which is like a kick in the nuts. You know, suddenly there's, you know, pistols and shamsticks and all that going on. And how that happened, just that turning point, just almost overnight, you know.
All in 10 years. Wow.
Yeah, one minute it was Bay City Rollers and the Bee Gees, the next minute, you know, it was Anarchy in the UK and God Save the Queen, which was just, yeah, it was. It was a strange day. Probably musically, I'd certainly, for me, probably one of the best decades, other than the 50s, I think, of which I am a fan, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, me too, though. Me too. I do love that whole... I love all the music we play. I really do. I get into it. And, you know, I miss that... Carlos. I miss the songs that we had on when we had Carlos on.
I still have those. I will have to ask him again, obviously, but we should... excuse me. We should play some of his again. I'm a big fan of his stuff. I mean, again, it's just that kind of... So I think I've inhaled a fruit fly. Excuse me. I'll have to play some more of his stuff. We have a bit of a... Because we have all sorts of animals in the house, we have to keep that mealworms and crickets, and because you have to feed them carrots and bits and pieces that attract fruit fly. They just breed, and they're just... This time of year, you start with one, and there's millions of them the next day. It's just,
and he gets on me for talking about baseball. He's talking about fruit flies. What is more boring than a fruit fly? I don't think baseball is the answer.
Oh, I know. Yeah, baseball is more boring than fruit flies, to be honest.
Again, that should be, we should take a poll. And I think that the listeners would agree with me that baseball is more exciting than fruit flies.
I could make fruit flies a damn sight more interesting than baseball. We could have Jim's Fruit Fly Corner.
Well, that's right after X-Team is baseball corner.
Hey, we could that would quadruple our listenership. That really would.
Yeah. Okay.
Fun with fruit flies.
Well, I think we are just about through with our first segment here, and Kimber, can you let us know where we can find you online?
Yes, ma'am. You can find me on Facebook, on my Facebook author page. Let me see if I can find the link for us here.
You should know this.
It's at KimberSJohn.13, Facebook.com.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have the links put up on our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to stalk Kimber,
Brilliant.
You can find her links there.
Yeah, do you have a web, I presume you have an Amazon author page as well, yeah? Do you have a website?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All the links should be up by if Xtina's done her job properly, which she always does, bless her. Even though she's drunk most of the time, she does. She puts the effort in. She is. She's a sweetie. My little imaginary friend, she's great. I love her to bits. She's great.
I thank you so much for coming back on, Kimber. And then when you have your next book come out, we will definitely have to have you back. And now that I said we have to have you back, you have to come back because people will
It's not optional, by the way. It's not optional.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about the Virgin Slayer book when that's done and ready to be... Ready to be out there. That sounds cool.
Yes, sir.
So, get writing. Get it written.
I will get the writing. Thank you.
We shall look forward to that. Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. We'll speak to you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Kimber.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, girl.
Bye-bye. Bye. We'll let her get back to a choir recital now.
It is that
time of year, you know, we've got everything going on. And then suddenly, you know, you get like another month and it just stops. And you're stuck with little buggers for 11 weeks.
I know, I'm
like,
hoping that I can find some kind of like camp or something to send mine to. An 11-week
camp. Well, what you need to do is get him arrested.
Oh, my God, and he's only 13.
11 weeks in juvie, you know, it gets him out of your hair, doesn't it?
I'm thinking, you know, maybe if I get arrested, that's a little bit of a break too. It'd be like camp.
It'd be a holiday
right?
for you, wouldn't it?
Like
yeah.
camp.
I'm sure, yeah. as long as you let you do the show from prison, jobs are good, isn't it? It's good. We'll do that.
That'd be so fun.
We'll do that.
You're going to ask me about commercials now, aren't you?
I was going to, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'll try to work through them here with my face is swollen here. Okay. Here we go. We here at Hellbound Books would like to inform you that, following the appropriate rituals, a portal has opened and spawned a horde of hellish delights in which immortals can partake. I have to rest my face. Depraved desires. I know, right? Depraved Desires, our dark erotica and erotic horror anthology. Shopping List, learn your favorite author's shopping habits and confront them in the produce aisle. And The Big Book of Bootleg Horror, a sinister tome dripping with taboo things to make your skin crawl. All are available at your favorite outlets. Find your links to them at hellboundbookspublishing.com. And finally, we at Hellbound Books are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. Oh, let's see. I also have, you can find James at his website, www.jameslawmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, unofficial of the Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroom.com. And now I need more to drink.
Yeah, that was a big old slurp there, wasn't it? That was good.
Yes, I'm trying.
Yes, you are. Right, we shall. It is that time. You're imbibing, and I need to, let some out. So let's have a half time. Then we'll be back with young Becky, who's reviewing something. Probably, I don't know. She might not. Maybe she can't be bothered. I don't know. But we'll always nice to chat with Becky. And then we have Israel Finn, who'll be joining us as well. So we will see you after, if I don't press the button, after this one.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. E is even more than anyone that you adore can love, is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
Thank you.
The end. There we go. Just to finish off the short story there. That was good. Thank you for bearing me with that one. And it's a corker. It really is a good one. It's funny, we were talking about, funny, not really funny, but we're talking about Alzheimer's sufferers. And I need to edit it and need to polish him. I wrote a great little short story called the Silverado Springs Memory Care Posse. And it is actually about a group of Alzheimer's sufferers in a residential care home, trying to solve some mysterious murders. And of course, the thing is, they investigate it, and the next day they've forgotten. It is a really good little story. Their only clue is, like, because they have their own breakfast table, because they know it's theirs, it's got their name on it. And the care people said, this is, you know, so they, and there's a spare chair. So they kind of got this inkling that somebody used to sit there and he was, like, murdered the night before. And they can't remember who the fuck it was. One of them actually writes, when they have their meetings, writes it down. They try to solve this, you know, these sinister goings on in the memory care home with people just disappearing and dying in horrible circumstances. And it's great, because I mean, it's a great challenge to write it, because you're going to think, well, you know, the next day it's like the slate's wiped clean. They can't remember. They've slept and they can't remember what's happened. So apart from these sketchy notes in this moleskin notebook, that's all they have to go on. It was fun to write.
Yeah.
It is. I mean,
I would definitely read that.
I guess it's almost like dark comedy. It does have a sinister kind of twist to it, which I won't spoil for. But it's going in my own anthology, you know. So I don't want to give too much away. But it's probably one of my favourites, because it was an absolute hoot to write. You know, and it'd be great. I could see it being a novel. I could see it being, you know, a series. You know, these.
I could see
it being
a movie. That would be hilarious.
Crime-busting Alzheimer's patients, you know.
Yes. Sounds really entertaining, though. And can you imagine what a relief that would be? It would be such a nice, you know, because you said blank slate. So can you imagine waking up every morning and everything's all fresh and brand new? That'd
yeah.
be really nice.
Well, I don't
know.
Did
you
see it was Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore film, 50 First Dates?
Yeah.
And they took that way. She every day was it was done incredibly well. That was obviously a love story, you know. And it was that was when Adam Sandler was good. I was a big Adam Sandler fan up until he started doing crap like what was it? The adult one and where was it in a. Oh, what was it called? Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2. There was.
Thought it had such potential, because I really liked him. I liked that Kevin, what's his face, and I thought it was going to be really good, but it was such a letdown. I thought. Yeah, and then they had part two and everything. It was just a letdown.
Oh, two was. I mean, I watched that because the kids wanted to watch it because they kind of like one. It kind of appealed to the kids, I guess. But you know, I mean, in his day, I mean, one of the best ones he did for me was Punch Drunk Love, which I watched it thinking it was a comedy, and it wasn't. Difficult to explain, really, but if you've not seen it, see it. It's a great, great film. You know, it's different. It's not what you expect from Adam Sandler, and I would say it's probably you know, it's people don't it doesn't get mentioned an awful lot, you know, but I would definitely recommend that. So anyhow, so what happens next? What's going on now then in the show?
We have Becky next, don't we?
We do. Shall we do young Becky's
jingle?
You're the
brains of this establishment. Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, that's scary, isn't it? If I'm the brains, we've got no chance.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Becky, rescuers, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
we're just having one of those evenings.
I love that jingle, by the way. I get wine poured, and you get a cool, like, personalized jingle. I need something with my name in big, flashing, I don't know, bells
but
whistles or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, Eckstein, people know immediately. Oh, that's like, she's coming, Eckstein's coming on now. That's a jingle.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, we could change it to one of you. We could change it to one of you falling over.
Or me asking you about butterflies and yeah.
No.
So when do butterflies turn into frogs then? When does that happen?
Hey, I did not see
I must admit, my favorite is the way you judge people when we do 11 questions. That is awesome. You know, I tell you what, I have noticed a disproportionately large number of people pick out turkey, which, to be fair, is the blandest of the lunch meats.
I agree. So, yeah, if I don't care for it, that's when I guess my judging side does come out. And I never knew that it was that transparent.
It's just snakes and spiders, and they say snakes. Nothing wrong with snakes. Just that little just cracks me up every time.
Kittens, really?
What do you mean, fucking kittens? What's wrong with you? You freak.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
It's great. So, Becky, what do you have for us this evening?
Well, I'm going to review an anthology tonight called Depraved Desires, and it was released by Hellbound Books this week. 27 stories, very talented authors. I was really impressed. It's dark. There are engrossing stories. Some of them are super twisted, but they are super hot. They don't leave a desire or a wish left untouched. Do I recommend this? Hell yeah. Am I glad there's going to be another one? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And submissions for that are being accepted, so I understand.
Yes, they are.
And,
yes, I'm joining in. Yes. That's it. That's all I have to say on the matter.
And I don't think we're disclosing who this is or anything, but we do have a guest editor that we're going to reveal sometime here. I'm really excited.
When you can, yes. It is exciting, actually. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited about it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I have to admit, one of my favorite stories from that anthology was the knife play. I don't know what it was about that story, but I got them reading it.
Oh,
God,
that was so creepy. Yes. Yeah.
I loved it. Oh, my God. I was thinking, that is fucking hot. Is there something wrong with me? Because that was really hot. So,
no, yeah, it was.
Yes, there is something wrong with you.
Well, then there's something wrong with me, too.
Right.
More than likely, Becky, more than likely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna judge both of you now. There you go.
Well, that's okay. And yeah, I like baseball too, so you know. There's definitely
you're right. Okay, it's Becky Nextina's baseball corner. I like that. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it, James?
Yeah.
Sorry, can we move on now?
Yes, fine.
Lord. I should talk about. We could have Jim's fun with fruit flies.
Oh God, yeah. Let's move on. Moving right along.
I'm gonna have a jingle for that next week. Jim's fun with fruit flies. Definitely. It's gonna happen, folks. It's gonna happen. Hey, Becky. Thank you. So it's one of those nights. Thank you so much. We have. Our next guest lined up is Real Finn, so we're going to get to him now.
Oh, he's awesome.
Hopefully he's a favorite of the show. We're looking forward to having a good old chin wag. So, well, thank you for what was the name of that book again, Becky?
Depraved Desires.
And where can one purchase it?
Oh, from hellboundbooks.com.
Okay, so it'll be on Amazon and all the usual ebook places and whatnot, and paperback and you name it. So, yeah, brilliant.
And
Rachel, Ebook, obviously. We shall.
And also, you can purchase it from our app too.
Awesome. Can't beat a good old app. Horror at your fingertips. That's great.
Love it.
So, thank you so much. We will speak to you again next week with your Xena can judge you again, which would be great. So.
I know.
All right. Thank
you, Becky. Okey-do.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
So, hey, sorry that all went quiet. I'm trying to figure out whose number's what now. I guess hopefully this is Mr. Finn. Is Real over there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Oh. Yay!
Was that
doing,
split
guys?
Second of silence? We're very well. So, thank you for holding for so long while Xena sort of waffles on about baseball. I mean, he forced me to see.
You know what?
Honestly,
maybe he's a fan. Are you a fan?
Stupid.
Are you a fan of baseball, Israel?
I refuse to comment on the grounds that it may.
Good man.
Me.
Good man. There we go.
Damn it.
There we go. We're going to put him on the stamp collecting side, I think.
Oh God.
Yeah.
That's it.
I messaged Xena, and you guys were arguing about which was more boring, fruit flies or baseball, and I said, well, how about fruit flies playing baseball?
Yes.
Do you know, I would probably pay to watch that, seriously.
Many years ago, I sat through
a Padres game. We visited San Diego, and it was just kept going on.
That's my town.
Oh, well, there you go. And the Padres, I don't know if they've improved any, but they were terrible. I mean, it, literally halfway through the game, people were leaving because it was so obvious that they didn't have a cat and house chance of winning.
Yeah, just like
it was
the
just like, yeah, it was just like hours and hours. That's the thing with it. I mean, with the exception of cricket, which can go on for literally for weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, English sports, you know, we get it over and done with. But here, I mean, like a football game here. I mean, England, a soccer match is 90 minutes, 45 each side. Football just goes on and on and on and on and on. And then they have a break and a timeout and a break. Really?
There was a game.
Get on with it.
You don't care, but there was a game last week. My team, and the game started, I think, around it was like 10 or 11 o'clock, did not get over with till close to 4 o'clock in the morning. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
do the crickets again, James.
Hey now.
If she's not careful, I'll do the diarrhea sound effect. That's always
a
favorite.
God,
so, Xena, you have been warned. Okay. So, Israel,
yes,
great to have you on the show again. So, you're here to talk to us about your book Threads. Tagline:
yes.
Hell is coming, which is a tagline right on my street. Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, I came across a little factoid a little while back. I think it was on NPR or something, but they were talking about the opening night of Stravinsky, the Rite of Spring, and it was in 1913 Paris. And the audience, they were beyond shocked and offended by this new, you know, quote unquote scandalous music. And the neurons in their brains weren't able to categorize the music, and it couldn't process it. And the dissonance went on for so long that the crowd became temporarily schizophrenic, and a bloody riot broke out, and the throng just turned into a mindless mob because of sounds in the air. It was
wow.
Such a new, I mean, like they considered Beethoven in his time to be, you know, scandalous. They thought it was, you know, offensive and vulgar music. And we can't wrap our minds around that now because we're so, saturated with so many different things. But at that time in 1913, his music, Stravinsky, caused a riot to break out because it rewired these people's brains. And that just fascinated me. So you know, I've been a musician for a lot of years, and you know, so I've always been fascinated by music, of course, and then I started thinking about, well, you know, what else is music done and sounds done to affect society and cultures? And you know, of course, we got the Beatles, and look what they did, and Nirvana, and they actually changed the course of society, and you know, they changed the way people thought. And then so I dug a little deeper and went a little deeper and started looking at string theory, you know, which is just a theory, of course, but it led me to the idea that music is the stuff of reality, that vibrations are what causes, you know, everything. And as a matter of fact, I think that the theory of holograms is that, you know, holograms are actually created by sound waves. So really, basically, everything, our entire existence is comprised of sounds, of vibrations. So that's basically the how I came up with the premise of the book, was that everything is connected because of vibrations, and the universe and the multiverse is created because of music. So what happens is, basically in a nutshell, is two opposing godlike forces, they're playing a cosmic chess game, and they choose two mortals as their pawns, and these two mortals have to do battle over the you know, over the outcome of the multiverse. And that's basically the premise. So we've got the villain and the hero, and they're both granted different powers, and their powers are like puzzle pieces against each other, and that's basically what the book is about, is you know, these two people that are fighting. Will end up fighting each other over the, you know, who gets to win the multiverse, and one of them, if the good guy wins, you know, it's obvious, it's like our reality. If the bad guy wins, then it would end up being complete chaos.
Oh, wow.
Which,
and
you know, it'd be like hell.
Would you consider it horror or something else?
Yeah, it's horror. It's definitely, yeah, it's got horror elements, absolutely. But there's probably, I mean, there are elements of fantasy, dark fantasy, maybe a little even science fiction in there. So yeah, I mean, I probably touch a few bases.
Well, I am totally sold. So do you have a reading for us? It's my favorite part.
Yeah,
I sure do. Not to mention, you have such a lovely voice. You do. I'm captivated, so I will sit here and listen to you read.
Well, okay, thank you. That's nice to hear.
I think you've scared him now, Steve. He's frightened.
No, I'm still here.
Good.
Okay,
good. Go
yeah,
for
this
it.
Is about an 1,800-word excerpt. Or actually, I'm going to read chapter one of the book. So... without further ado, people said life was short, but that wasn't always true. Sometimes it stretched on forever like an endless rutted road. Rafe Hadley slumped in his wheelchair and stared out at the cold January sunlight, shafting through the window and falling across the faded green tile of his room. Wheel of Fortune blared from the TV mounted on the wall, and there wasn't a goddamn thing Rafe could do about it. A nurse had turned it on to keep him company. Their notion of activities here at Shady Acres. Some fool woman on the TV jumped up and down and screamed like her ass was on fire because she had just won $500, and that high and mighty Pat Sajak was grinning like a goat. Rafe huffed and shook his head in disgust. Day after day, week after week, they parked him in front of this idiot box, and Rafe sometimes thought his last couple of remaining marbles would come rolling out his ears and go bouncing across that green tile. He cursed his crippled body for denying him the pleasure of rising and taking a hammer to the damnable thing, but he remained still as a stump below the neck, unable to lift so much as a finger. A cry of fury and frustration boiled up from his belly, only to pass his lips as nothing more than a whimper. For the umpteenth time, Rafe yearned for his old radio, always tuned to the local classic country station. But it had gone on the fritz 3 months ago. He could not ask for another one, the ALS having silenced his tongue as well as crippling his body. And no one had ever offered. So now Rafe's life, if you wanted to call it that, had become an endless parade of game shows, talk TV, and toilet paper commercials. "Hello there, Mr. Hadley." Rafe swiveled his head toward the open door. That crazy old Dolores Johnson stood in the entrance to his room. She was stark naked, her blue-veined bosoms hanging down to her doughy waist like two deflated balloons. The hair on her skull was a wiry gray nest, a fair match for the lesser thatch between her fish-belly white legs. She stood on scaly flat feet with long yellowish-brown toenails that reminded Rafe of an old bullhorn he once owned. Her eyes burned with insanity. "Fine afternoon, isn't it?" she said. Rafe nodded. "Perhaps you'd like to walk with me in the garden after supper." Rafe stared. There was no garden anywhere at Shady Acres, and had there been, he sure as hell wouldn't be ambling through it anytime soon. "Go away," he thought. Two nurses appeared and fetched Dolores. They escorted her back to her room with no apology or word of greeting at all to Rafe. Once Dolores had gone, though, Rafe was surprised to find himself disappointed at her departure. Her sudden exhibition had at least been a change of routine, something to break up the constant suffocating monotony. The worst part about being 83 and what they called infirm was the feeling of worthlessness. It wasn't only the god-awful boredom or that the walls pressed in on every side until you were sure you'd go right out of your gourd. It was more than that. If you could do something, anything, you had the chance to earn some respect, and respect was important, more important than love or money. But at Shady Acres, respect was in short supply, as was compassion, which left Rafe up Shit Creek with nary a paddle. The nurses returned to transfer Rafe to his bed and change his diaper, an act that never failed to mortify him. He kept his eyes fixed on the ceiling while the two women, one white, the other colored, tended to him. He was especially ashamed to be so disgraced in front of the colored woman. Rafe had never been a prejudiced man, but he'd learned early on from his pap that whites and coloreds had no business mixing. It wasn't natural. Rafe himself had nothing against them. In the summer of 1937, he saw a black man lynched in Greenville, Kentucky. The young man was a soldier on furlough who'd had the poor judgment to stop at the Piggly Wiggly on his way through town. There he had socialized with Antoinette Purdy, who was working behind the counter. Antoinette was also the preacher's daughter and a white girl of 17. 2 hours later, 10-year-old Rafe sat on a split-rail fence munching an apple and watching as a bunch of piss-drunk Klansmen threw a rope over a thick sycamore branch and strung the sorry bastard up, the man weeping and wailing right up to the end. Part of Rafe felt sorry for the colored soldier, but another part of him figured the man had it coming. He should never have shown his faith in that town or had the gall to trifle with a white girl. So Rafe sat there and watched it happen and never said a word, but he didn't pitch in either, and he thought that accounted for something. Rafe wondered what those white hangmen would say about the new black president. He reckoned he had a pretty good idea. The nurses prattled on with not a word to him. When they had finished and gone, Rafe looked at the TV. Family Feud was on. He sighed and stared out the window. A dark cloud had swallowed the sun, casting the town of Evansville, Indiana, or rather his framed view of it, a brooding abandoned brick warehouse across West Franklin Street, into gloom. After a while, giving into sheer boredom, he dozed off. He woke to darkness pressing against the window and a soft clinking sound at the foot of his bed. It was Daryl, the night orderly, setting Rafe's supper on the... Rafe felt the familiar mix of dread and hatred. His weak heart pounded as he braced himself for whatever horrors Daryl had in store for this evening. "Hey there, you old cocksucker," Daryl said, a good-natured grin on his moon-shaped face. "Time for din-din." Daryl took the bed's clicker and raised Rafe to a sitting position. He put the railing down and rolled the table forward. After switching on the headboard lamp, bathing Rafe in light the color of murky piss, he lifted the metal plate cover and set it aside. Rafe looked at the tray, a piece of liver as tough as boot leather, a stingy scoop of mashed potatoes he knew from experience would taste like lumpy wall plaster, a scattering of dry lima beans, and a glass of lukewarm milk to wash it all down. It reminded him of an old joke. One lady says, "The food here is terrible," and the other lady says, "Yeah, in such small portions." But Rafe was hungry. "Mm-mm," Daryl said and smacked his lips. "Looks good." He stole a glance at the open door. Beyond it, the hallway stood dim and empty. A grin crept over his face as he turned back toward Rafe. "It could probably use a little sauce, though, don't you think?" Rafe watched as Daryl hawked up phlegm from the back of his throat and spat a thick glob of goo onto the liver. Daryl took the fork from the tray and used it to smear a coating of slime over the rest of the food on the plate. His grin stretched wider as he shoveled up a forkful of potatoes with a single line of lima bean stuck straight up on top, like a tiny king of the hill, Rafe thought, and brought it toward Rafe's mouth. "Just like Mom used to make, huh?" Rafe clamped his mouth shut and drew his head back, staring at the lump in disgust. Daryl looked put out. "What, you don't want none?" Rafe looked out the window at the dark. "Well," Daryl shrugged, "we can't let it go to waste. That'd be a sin." With that, he drew up a chair and dug in. But he kept one eye on the doorway the whole time. Daryl deprived Rafe of food only once or twice a week. Wouldn't do to let a resident starve to death. The orderly had plenty of other amusements in his cruel bag of tricks. "So," he said around a mouthful of potatoes, "I bet it sucks having to lay there day in and day out, can't even scratch an itch or play with your pecker." Rafe stared out the window. He knew the drill. "Ah, dried up old fucker like you probably ain't got no more lead in your pencil anyway." Then Daryl said, "Course I got cock enough for both of us." Rafe jerked his head around at this new tack. Daryl's eyes danced in the dimness. He knew he'd hit a nerve. He lowered his right hand to his crotch, began massaging himself. "Maybe I'll give you a little taste." If Rafe had his way, Daryl would have dropped dead as a turd right then and there. Rafe wished it harder than he'd ever wished anything in his life. No, he wanted more than that. He wanted Daryl to suffer. Rafe eyed his tormentor with a hatred so red hot he felt his own face burning. Daryl smiled back pleasantly. He stopped rubbing himself. "There's nothing you can do," he said. Rafe looked away, angry tears scalding his eyes. Daryl glanced at the doorway, then back at Rafe again. "Time's getting closer," he said, and Rafe waited to hear the same words he heard every night Daryl was on shift. "One of these nights I'm going to sneak in here, quiet as a spider, and smother you with that smelly old pillow of yours. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow." He shrugged like it didn't matter either way. "Go on," Rafe thought. "Do it now. Have done with it." Didn't this fool get it? Didn't he understand he'd be doing Rafe a kindness? Daryl set the plate down, gulped Rafe's milk, and stood up. He clicked off the headboard lamp, and in the sudden half-light, Daryl had the sensation he was looking into the eyes of a rabid dog. Daryl collected the tray and headed out the door, cooing as he went. "See you later, sweet potato." Rafe lay in the darkness, his hunger pangs causing his stomach to clench like a fist. In a world of hurt, his pap would have said, as in, "I'm going to put you in a world of hurt, you no-count little thumb bitch." But like Daryl had said, there was nothing Rafe could do, so he simply bore it, as he had borne all the other troubles in his life. The early days with his pap, starving on the road after he had lit out on his own at 15, his time in Joliet. After a time, a shadow darkened the doorway as a figure stepped into the room. It appeared Daryl was back for more. But when the figure moved into the wedge of light at the foot of his bed, Rafe saw it wasn't the orderly at all, but the corpse of the colored soldier they'd hanged from a tree in Greenville, Kentucky over 70 years ago. That's the end of the chapter.
Wow. Awesome. I was, yeah, that actually took me back to...
There.
Yeah, my school dinners mostly. No, that was excellent. You know, he sort of. I hope Rafe's all right. Actually, I like him. Yeah.
So Rafe is actually the villain of the story, though.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted him to be sort of nice, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he's a villain with. Hopefully, he's going to be a well-rounded character. But yeah, I decided to start off the book with the villain.
Yeah, no, I like that because you sort of built. I've got sympathy for the guy. You know, I mean, end of his days, he's been. Treated like crap, and you want him to, you know. I was hoping that the dark figure would do the orderly in, but I was hoping for.
Right.
But that's brilliant. Yeah, that's I like the idea of the threads and the sound thing and all that. Because I mean, on a subatomic level. You know, matter. You know, atoms are just vibrations of energy. You know, so you think you've hit on something there. So
it's always fascinated me. So
it's funny. You get. I'm going to start talking about fruit flies in a minute, Xtina. You get some. In fact, I was watching something a while ago where they start coming up with pseudoscience and. As a scientist, from back in the day, it can ruin, a book or a movie for me. But, you obviously, when you've done your research and it has its roots in actual science or actual, science speculation, it certainly rings true.
Theory, so it hasn't been disproven yet. And I don't really know how close they are to proving or disproving, string theory, actually. So, I think I'm good for a while.
No, definitely. I mean, I think it's one of those. It's like the whole dark matter thing. You know, they haven't found it. Nobody's seen it, but it has to be there. That's what I love about theoretical physics is that, they say it has to be there, otherwise it wouldn't work. The whole thing wouldn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess string theory.
Exactly right.
Well, string theory, really. I mean, they're desperately trying to connect all the, all the strands of physics to have a big. Obviously, what Hawking has been trying to achieve all his life is the unified theory, which I think if and when we prove the existence, of string theory, then that should pull it. That should pull it all together. So like you say, maybe.
You're not too bad yet, James, but you're starting to go that creepy possession thing, but it's not quite too bad yet. You're starting to go. Yeah.
Okay,
well, it's perfect time
to check out for you.
I was going to say to Israel that normally James, tries to beg free copies from people, and I want to put my hand up first and say that if there are any free copies, it goes to Xtina, not James this time, okay? And because he's went all creepy possession thing, he can't even say anything. He can't defend himself or anything. So we could even talk about baseball right now if we wanted to. There's nothing he can do.
Oh, James. I'm sorry, man.
So we had the 11 questions with Kimber, and now you are, I thought this was pretty strange that you said that you would tell us an embarrassing story because you did not trust our questions.
I can't believe
you would say this.
I'm sorry.
They're not that bad. So now you have
well,
to
Well, would
tell
you rather
us
me just take
story.
The questions or, either
no,
way,
no,
either
I
thing is fine.
I would keep you on the line for longer, and we could do 11 questions and the embarrassing story. But I don't know if we have enough time for that. So next time you come on the show, you're going to have the whole 90 minutes to yourself, and I'll think of other questions. Your favorite underwear, stuff like that.
Well, my favorite underwear to wear, or my favorite underwear. Never mind.
Both.
Okay.
You're even worse now.
Yeah, you're worse now. So we want the embarrassing story.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Patty.
Do I have time to tell
and I'm
him?
Thelma. What is your most embarrassing story?
Okay. I laughed at my dad's funeral. Actually, it was my stepdad, but, you know, he was like a real dad to me. I loved him with all my heart. But, yeah, it was strange. It was a strange experience. We were, you know, everybody was milling about, and then we sat down, and, you know, his casket was up front, and people were filing by. And my brother and I were sitting, you know, a few pews back, just watching the procession. And this goofy looking dude started walking by, you know. I'm sorry, you know, he just looked so funny. And you know, I looked at him and just kind of looked down, but my brother saw him too, and my brother like elbowed me, and so I knew that he saw him too, and he wanted to get my attention. Look at this guy. And my brother could always make me laugh, and always in the most inappropriate, you know, circumstances. So the thing is I think that you know, sadness and hilarity are very, you know,
yes,
very close to each other. Comedy, tragedy, they're both back to back anyway.
I agree.
Yeah. So. Yeah. My emotions were bubbling over that day, and I just started laughing my ass off. And I mean, tears were streaming down my eyes. I was just, and everybody in the church turned around and started looking at me, you know, like I was, you know, insane, because I was just laughing at my dad's funeral. And I stumbled out of the pew and stumbled past people, you know, making my apologies, and stumbled out the, you know, up the aisle and out the door, laughing the whole way, and with my asshole
so
of a brother
bad.
Watching me. Yeah, you know, the one
awful.
That instigated it all was just watching me leave. And anyway, I went out and sat on the bench, and my tears of joy or laughter, you know, turned into tears of sorrow eventually. But yeah, that was pretty embarrassing, because, you know, there were a bunch of people that some of whom I knew and most of whom I didn't, watching me just cackle like a madman at my own father's funeral. And, you know, so I'm sure that there were a lot of stories, you know, being made up, or, you know, a lot of talk about me after, you know, behind the scenes. But yeah, it was pretty embarrassing.
I hate that we are at the end of our show. I hate it. And
oh,
the next
that's fine.
Time the next time that I bug you, which will be very soon, we'll have you come back for the entire show, and you can read longer, and I can just sit back and listen to your wonderful voice and ask you all sorts of personal and fun questions. So where can we find you online?
my site is israelfinn.com. That's the main place to go. So people, you know, you can go there and sign up, try to keep it interesting. And then, Facebook is just Facebook, blah, 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 Israel Finn. Also Twitter, which is Israel_Finn. And those are the main spots.
Okay, awesome. So. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I will definitely be stalking you again. And I think James, are you there, James?
I'm trying to be. I might be a robot again. Am I back?
You're there.
Hey, yeah, well...
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah,
James.
Sorry, but it happens every week. I mean, he's part of the show now. Thank you for joining us, Israel.
Hey, I wanted to tell you real quick, James. I've got your book, Flanagan, on my to-be-read list. It looks really fascinating.
Oh, fantastic.
And,
do let me know what you think. Let me know what you think.
I absolutely will.
Fantastic. Enjoy.
Thank you, Israel.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Speak to you later. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. So we've literally got 30 seconds, so it's time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Well, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna. she's the woman that I know. She's the woman that loves me so. Say, Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, I don't mind my baby. Bebopalula, she's my baby, my baby, my baby. It's Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula.